Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back. Today we're going to be dealing with chapter number 12, and the objectives are this. Upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse for memory, and you're going to be able to identify your offensive weapons. Our key verse today is found from the Articles of War, and it's found in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 25a. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord of hosts. Introduction. Now that you have learned to defend yourself spiritually, you must also learn how to wage offensive warfare, which will help you to advance into Satan's territory. With offensive weapons, you will be able to claim new ground as you spread the gospel and bring deliverance to those held in enemy bondage. To war a good warfare, it is evident that you must take offensive action. 1 Timothy 1:18 says this, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So you are to fight this battle intelligently and with purpose. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, it says, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. So knowing your offensive weapons can give you the ability to fight with purpose instead of uncertainty. Offensive strategies. Here are the weapons you can use to wage offensive spiritual warfare. The first one is prayer. So you've already studied prayer and fasting as part of God's battle plan in chapter 10 and as a defensive weapon in the last lesson. But prayer is also a powerful offensive weapon. When you use it to wage offensive warfare, you do not just pray only for your own personal wants and needs and problems, but you intercede for people, leaders, and nations, pulling down strongholds of Satan and his demonic forces. All Christians are to intercede at times, but there's a special calling to intercession for some. This powerful ministry brings the intercessor before the Lord to wage mighty battles in the unseen realm. The value of praise and worship was also mentioned in chapter 10. Praise and worship are powerful offensive weapons. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when Israel faced a mighty enemy, they began to sing and praise God, and he set an ambush to defeat their army. When you praise and worship God, you're actually setting up ambushments in the spirit world. The word of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. To take something is to get a hold of it, to grasp it, to draw it to yourself. To take hold of God's armor implies offensive action on the part of the believer. Now, you studied about the defensive parts of the armor in the last lesson, and this included the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, shoes of the preparation of peace, and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is a weapon that can be used both defensively and offensively. The Word is a defensive weapon when you use it to defend against the attacks of Satan. It is offensive when you use it to claim territory for the Lord and by sharing the gospel message and deliverance with others. There are two different words used in the Scripture for the Word of God. One is logos, which refers to the total utterance of God. This refers to the complete revelation of what God has said. And the second one is rhema, and this refers to a specific saying of God that has special application to a specific situation. This is the word used in this passage, calling the sword of the Spirit the Word of God. You remember that Jesus used specific rhema sayings of God applicable to the immediate temptation. To be able to do this implies familiarity with the total word of God. And if you are to use specific scriptures applicable to immediate battles, you must have knowledge of God's total revelation. The mind of Christ. We find in Philippians 2:5 it says, "For as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." To let means to permit or embrace. You are to arm yourself with the same mind that Jesus had, a mind set to wage aggressive warfare. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So you must let or permit this mind to be developed. You must take aggressive action to arm yourself with a similar mental attitude. In Romans 12:2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." To be transformed means to experience a complete change, which will be expressed in character and conduct. Renewing and arming your mind with Christ-likeness results in such a transformation. Pulling and casting down. The goal of offensive warfare is to pull and cast down the strongholds of the enemy. For weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So to pull down means to take down by effort or force. To cast means to throw or to hurl. You are also told to cast off the works of darkness in Romans chapter 13 verse 12, and to cast out demon powers according to Matthew 10:8. So when you pull and cast down strongholds of Satan, you are waging offensive warfare. You're not waiting to defend against an attack of Satan, but you are attacking strongholds of the enemy's power. Binding and loosing. You have the power to bind the forces of evil and loose the forces of good. In Matthew 16:19, it says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Through delegation of power and authority from Jesus, you can bind and loose spiritual forces. Note that this weapon works together. It is binding and loosing. Whenever you bind something, you should also loose something. For example, if you bind the spirit of lying, you should loose the spirit of truth to operate in its place. The blood of Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he loosed us from the dominion of sin and the power of the enemy. His blood secures our access to God and release from the bondage of Satan. The Word of God indicates that they, believers, overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And that's found in Revelation 12:11. Salvation, healing, and deliverance are all available because of the blood of Jesus. His blood enables you to wage offensive warfare for the souls of men and women and to bring deliverance and healing in the name of Jesus. Your power to overcome the enemy is because of the blood of the Lamb. And your testimony. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11 indicates the enemy is defeated by the word of your testimony. The word testimony means evidence or record, like that used in a legal case in a court of law. You'll recall that Jesus often commanded people who had been delivered to go and tell others what God had done for them. As you testify or give evidence to the power of God in your life, you wage offensive spiritual warfare. To be effective, your testimony must be based upon the testimony of the Word of God, just as the lawyer in court bases his arguments on the law of the land. The name of Jesus. You already learned that the name of Jesus is part of God's basic battle plan. The name of Jesus is a powerful offensive weapon. Also, Jesus said that in my name you shall cast out demons, heal the sick, and overcome all the power of the enemy. Mark 16:17. So you're going to want to review the various names of Jesus in chapter 3 of this manual and see how many of his names reflect the offensive action against the enemy. Also, read through the book of Acts and note the miracles done in his name. The name of Jesus is not some magical phrase with which we conclude our prayers. It is the symbol of the authority and power he has given us. You'd better be authorized to use his power and authority before you start using his names to war against satanic powers. So go ahead and review the story in Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 17, and note what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. Then go ahead and do your chapter self-test and join me in the next lesson.
Hey, and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.